Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to enter the doghouse. Now, coming to you live from the Mad Dog Dynasty League headquarters in Maguanago, Wisconsin, Bad Guy with a Phone Productions proudly presents another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. I'm your host, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, and the aforementioned Fat Guy with a Phone himself. We are getting the band back together tonight to talk about the 2016 Mad Dog offseason. We aim tonight to close out the Blue Division with our fourth show in a 12-part series aimed at examining the moves of each team here in the Mad Dog Dynasty League. Let me go ahead and bring in some of our guests for today's show, adding the we to me, as I like to say. My co-hosts, let me click some buttons here, guys, 1 second. First up. Yeah, that's right, dude. You knew it was you. First up, he's the owner, the first owner ever to sign and drop Andy Dalton and Gary Barnage in less than 24 hours. Barnage, that guy owes me money. I love that scene from Stripes. Barnicky, the owner of the Malicious Minds, Tom Buckles. Good to have you with us, Tom.
You're welcome, Brad. I'm here for you.
You are, man. Let's keep it going. Brian Koch of the Marauding Minotaurs will be joining us in a little bit. He did tell me he was going to be a little late to the show. Let's move on to the only man in America who exhaled when Darth Vader told Luke that he was his father, the owner of the Stoneform Pallies, Steve Wellman. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Yeah, I don't want to get in between you and that special thing you got going with Tom, so I'll just say hi.
Get the special Jedi powers going.
I'm right now telling him what to do, except the trade-off.
And a special surprise for everybody. I said that Brian Koch was going to join us. He's on the line now, so I'm going to go ahead and bring Brian in. He is the 2012 League winner of the Dog Ball.
Dog Bone.
2012 League winner of the Dog Bowl. He enjoys long walks and drafting defensive linemen. Brian Koch.
Good night. Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good.
Do it.
Thanks for coming to the show.
Do it.
Now, we save the best for last here. Mad Dog Royalty joins us tonight, guys. One of two men to have ever won two Mad Dog League titles and the only owner to do it back-to-back. Please welcome the 2014 and 2015 winner of the Dog Bowl, the owner of Lost in the Sauce, Tim Savor. Good to have you back on the show, Tim.
Good to be back, Rick. Hi, guys. How are we doing tonight?
Is it Savor or Beaver?
He had it right. It's Savor.
I'm just messing.
Well, guys, here's the thing. We're here tonight to talk about the 2016 offseason, specifically the Blue Division. We're going to close that out. Before we do that, let me toss out the latest league news. As we record this show, the final signing deadline has passed. A couple of owners exercised their right to pull out of offseason deals before the deadline. The Marauding Minotaurs withdrew their offers to Alex Smith, quarterback Kansas City, and linebacker Ryan Kerrigan of Washington. Meanwhile, the Malicious Minds, they rescinded their offers to quarterback Andy Dalton and tight end Gary Barnage. Other news, Tron's Pap Sixer, the focus of today's show, did not make a decision on linebacker Melvin Ingram by the deadline, and thereby they lost their rights to the player. So Tom and Brian, you guys happen to be here for the show. Do you care to comment on your late decision?
Myself last night, after the podcast that we recorded and all through workday today, even afterwards, I sent Steve a trade offer for our Eifert deal, you know. And I'm like, wow, that would suck because I had then already just signed Barnage and all this, and I don't need three guys, and did I make the right moves? You know, all through the day, too, like I said, all day long, it's just been something that's been at me. Did I need the three quarterbacks? Did I need to bring in a 30-year-old tight end after I already have a 30-plus-year-old tight end? So, I don't know. We'll see.
Brian, how about you? What was the motivation behind your last-minute tweaks?
Well, to kind of go backwards and just comment on Tom's there real quick, I think Tom made the right choice cutting Barnage. You know, again, I said it last night, a 30-year-old tight end, and the guy was 30-year-old tight end, first year really kind of coming out of the woodwork. You know, where was that really going? So, anyways, I think Tom made the right call getting rid of that that guy. As far as myself, Alex Smith, I was kind of toying with for a while there. All off season, I wanted to see how he looked on paper for me for 2 years, and as well as Ryan Kerrigan. Outside linebacker, I have Mason Foster. We talked about it on a couple podcasts. Hate having the same guy, same positions covered on the same team, you know, on my fantasy team. So to me, it just didn't make sense to keep him. So I let him go. And going back to Alex Smith, you know, I just think that there's other talent in the free agent pool that might be worth the dollars.
Well, thanks a lot for giving us an explanation. It, as everybody knows, just for the owners that are in our league and for the listeners that maybe aren't in the league, in Mad Dog we have an off-season setup where when you make deals during the off-season, those deals are not final until the final signing deadline. You can always, you know, turn a 2-year contract into a max 3-year, or you can take a 3-year down to a 1-year, or you can just tear the deal up altogether. So I guess it's our equivalent of having to take the physical before training camp to make sure your contract is ready. But let's go ahead and get ready here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I use the idea of it being like the Josh Norman deal, basically. We franchise tagged our guys and we rescinded, so.
Well, it wasn't signed. That's all there is to it, right? We have a lot to cover, so let's get rolling. Transpap Sixer, that's our team today, co-owned by Zach Prisk and Tim Lagerman. They're the soup du jour tonight. So here's what we're going to do, guys, as quickly as I can, because they have a lot of signings to talk about. I'm going to recap Trans moves, including signings, cuts, taxi promotions, draft choices, trades, the works. After that, we can talk about all those moves and how they affected the franchise. So here we go. Despite their 5-9 finish last year, Tron showed some signs of life at the end of the year. They finished third in the Blue Division in 2015. And that's coming off a horrible 2014 season that saw Zach and Tim finish with the worst record in the league at 2-12. I think it's important to note that they did that 2014 team. They finished 2-12 with a roster that was largely filled with players that were handed to them when they took the team over from the franchise that was formerly known as Phantoms 2. Today, Tron's roster stands at 29 players. They have a league-high $54.04 in cap space. Now, that's a ton of money. It's all going to be how do they use it. The signings, as far as how did they use it thus far, they signed, maybe I didn't fill something in here. No, they cut that guy. Okay, pardon me. They cut, I'm going to read the signings and then I'm going to read the cuts because there's a lot of players on their list. So the signings, they signed Thomas Rawls to a 3-year deal, $2 and a penny. They signed wide receiver Dante Moncrief to a 3-year deal at $3.02. Sammy Watkins got a 3-year deal at $4.96. And there was a transition tag placed on linebacker DeQuell Jackson of Indianapolis, 1-year deal at $5.90. Here's where things get very interesting. Tron, played this perfectly with respect to their young talent, guys that were injured last year and didn't play. They nailed an early signing on Devontae Parker of Miami, locked him up 3 years, 50 cents a year. Kevin White of Chicago, wide receiver, locked him up 3 years, early signing, 50 cents a year. Dante Fowler, defensive lineman for Jacksonville, early signing, locked him up 50 cents a year for 3 years. That's incredible. They also locked up Quan Alexander on an early signing, taking advantage of the ability to sign players early before their contract ends. Quan cost them more than 50 cents, though. Quan was $3.88 a year on a three-year deal. They also, after the Dez Bryant trade, locked Dez Bryant up on a three-year deal at a contract of $9.04 a year. Very good usage of the league's early signing rules. Very beneficial for them with the particular players in question. They also promoted they promoted Daniel Hunter from Minnesota, the defensive lineman, and gave him a three-year deal at 50 cents. Those were all the signings this year for Tron. Here are the cuts.
Thanks, Jeremy.
What's that?
Thanks to they me putting cut. In the taxi squad pick for Daniel Hunter.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. They cut Jeremy Hill of Cincinnati. They cut Ronnie Hillman of Denver, Trey Mason. They cut Hankerson, the wide receiver from Washington. Percy Harvin they cut, but he retired. They cut DeSean Jackson of Washington, Vincent Jackson, Tampa Bay, Marvin Jones, formerly of Cincinnati, now with Detroit, Javon Kearse of Seattle cut, Williams from Dallas, the wide receiver. It's Terrence Williams, I believe. Cut him. Gerald McCoy was cut at defensive line, as was Jabal Sheard. Frank Clark, I believe, is his name, from Seattle. They cut him. Defensive lineman Ayers from the Rams, they cut him. Harrison from Pittsburgh, gone. Ingram from San Diego. Lynch from San Francisco, a linebacker. McPhee, a linebacker from Chicago, cut. Julius Peppers from the Packers, cut. DeSean Ware. Pardon me, that sometimes I miss the names, from Denver. DeMarcus Ware, is that right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
He used to be with the Cowboys and went over to the DeMarcus Ware. He got cut, and Woodyard, the linebacker of last year with Tennessee, cut. So those were the players that Tron signed and cut. I mentioned the taxi squad promotion. That was in response to Malicious Minds claiming Hunter, as Tom mentioned. And then in the draft, Tron was very active in the draft with trades. They ultimately ended up with three picks, all fourth rounders. They took Joshua Perry, a linebacker, San Diego, with the third pick in the fourth round. Nick Vigil, a linebacker from Cincinnati, with the fourth pick in the fourth round. And Roberto Aguayo, the place kicker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with the 12th pick in the fourth round, coming right after they had traded their starting place kicker, Steven Goskowski. So picked up a starter right there with the last pick in the fourth round. Trades. Tron has made four trades this offseason. All of them were pretty much around the draft. And here's what happened is they traded with the Marauding Minotaurs. They gave up the third overall pick in this year's draft and the third pick in the second round. And in exchange, they got Dez Bryant, the ninth pick in the third round and the fourth pick in the fourth round. Then they'd made a trade with Lost in the Sauce. They traded Lost in the Sauce, the third pick in the third round and the ninth pick in the third round. And in exchange for that, they got Lost's fourth round pick, the 10th pick in the fourth round. And they picked up the 12th pick in the fourth round. And then they picked up a 2017 second rounder. Then they turned around and made a trade with Malicious Minds, getting Steven Goskowski for the 10th pick in the second round. And they, moving on, made a trade with Ipswich United. This is the one where they really cashed in. They gave up the 10th pick in the second round, the 4th pick in the 10th round, the 10th pick in the 4th round, getting a little ahead of myself, and the 3rd pick in the 5th round in exchange for Ipswich's first-round pick next year. So great value there. That is, in a nutshell, Tron's moves. So there you have it. Guys, if I could get your first impressions of Tron's off-season, you know, before we dive in piece by piece, what did your gut say as the off-season was occurring and now you've heard their moves? Steve, we're going to start with you today on the rotation.
Well, he broke down his team and he signed for the future and got draft picks for the future. So I don't know if he'll be all that competitive this year, but he could be a force to be reckoned with in the next couple of years.
Tim, what are your impressions of Tron's off-season moves?
I mean, I think he made a lot of sound off-season moves. He trimmed a lot of fat on the team. Obviously got back a ton of cap space, made some positive moves both in the draft. But I'm just waiting to see the pop. I mean, I'm not really seeing a drive for this year yet out of this rebuild team. I'm just waiting to see a pop, waiting to see him really sink into a year and go, this is it. So I'm not seeing it yet with his moves this year. $54 isn't going to help with what I think is a pretty weak free agency this year. So obviously he's probably still going for years to come, like Steve said.
Tom.
I agree with what Tim just said as far as trimming a lot of fat and getting some cash available to be able to be flexible to kind of pick and choose what he wants, who they want for their free agents in the draft. A key thing for his team is guys overcoming injuries for the future. He's got a lot of injury issues up and down the offensive flex area. So if he can pick up some guys to fill in there for guys that, you know, like I said, are hurt all the time, I see a great future. I like the nucleus of a lot of young players that his defense line is set for future and then some, and hopefully his linebacking core can pick up. But I think his meat on his defense is that defensive line and the youth that he has. Hopefully they stay healthy, though.
Brian, what did you think of Tron's offseason?
You know, I mean, he goes ahead and he's like a golfer. You know, when I say that, he comes on out, he plays in the sun a little bit, and he disappears. So needless to say, you know, he comes on out at the highlights of the year, draft time, you know, when it comes to the rookie draft, and then he shows up for the free agent draft, and then to me, he kind of disappears as far as activity. First time I had a chance to really trade with him this year. He's been in the league now for about three seasons. So my impression of him has been okay so far. But on other trade offers that I've sent him, you know, if it's not really in his favor at 100%, he's very difficult to work with or deal with.
Yeah, co-owners here, by the way. For my two cents worth, guys, I feel like in life you see – it's like a movie. You're watching a scary movie, and there's always like one person, one character that always sees it coming or had the sense to see it, and they're trying to – get everybody else convinced that, you know, this bad thing's about to happen. And that's where I am with Tron. I think they're kicking the hell out of us right now. And I'm being completely honest and frank. I think they had a fantastic off season. The talent that they have locked up on cap-friendly deals is ridiculous. And it should make everybody that voted to have the early signing deal, it should have everybody rethinking it, because look at, they're reaping the rewards of putting a Parker, a White, Fowler, 50-cent contracts. Bryant, boom. He was injured last year. Tony Romo was injured. He gets to re-sign him. These are great signings. These are fantastic signings. And they are really improving their team because, again, looking back to what they had last year, they barely could fill two offensive flex positions. And now this year, they're going to have a lot of positions that they can pick as far as players, I should say. They'll have a lot of players that they can pick from, quality options. I think they're really not only building to be better in 2016, but I think they're really building up impact players, just like Ipswich picked up impact players that they can trot out there. I think Tron's doing the same thing. So I am very high on what they've done, and we'll dig into that. Why don't we go ahead and just start at the quarterback position if we could? And, Steve, the quarterbacks are pretty much the same, Cutler and Ryan, so not a ton to talk about, right, as far as improvement?
No,
do you see any other angles that they've improved?
Well, if you just want to say with the quarterback, I think, if, to kind of build on your point, you've got these two quarterbacks, and then all of a sudden somebody drops Andy Dalton into free agency, and you're thinking, okay, well, kind of know where that's going. And being in another league with him, I know that he's a big Andy Dalton fan. So I don't know that he made any definite improvements to his team this year as far as making his team more competitive, but he definitely took, like you said, he took advantage of the rules, and if he plays it right going down the future the next couple of years, he's definitely going to be
Let me open this a little wider. We're going to open it into the old flex because the quarterbacks stayed the same. If you guys want to comment on the quarterbacks, please do so. Steve, I'm going to keep you going into the old flex. I think adding Dez Bryant is a huge, huge plus. And Thomas Rawls taking over the job in Seattle, whereas last year he was a backup that only took over at the very, very end when Lynch got hurt, those are definite improvements. Picking up Parker and White, who were injured last year, they're getting their foot in the door. Moncrief has a quarterback this year that isn't like a 50-year-old Hasselbeck. Big steps forward.
Well, yeah, in the old flex, but then in my opinion, he kind of went backwards on the D-flex. Not so much that he went backwards, but yes, he added Dez Bryant, but by giving up all the picks that he gave up this year, he didn't do anything immediately for the rest of his team this year, so I don't know that the adding of Dez Bryant's going to make up for the fact that there were quite a few draft picks that he chose not to take impact players with this year. So I was talking about the whole team as an overall. In the old flex, obviously Dez Bryant being brought in is a big add, and the fact that he's going to keep, he's got Moncrief, Parker, Watkins, and White, and Dez Bryant for the next 3 years. So we're going to see those guys in the lineup for the next 3 years. So, yeah, in that respect, very well done.
Why don't we go to the next? Tim, what do you think of the offensive flex? And feel free to comment on quarterback if you wish.
Only comment on quarterback I have is find an improvement in the free agency fast. Neither one of those guys is dependable. Going on to the O-flex, I like it. He's got a lot of talent there. It's really raw, though. But I have a feeling that we're going to see this entire crew on this year's injury list almost. I mean, if he's definitely losing at least one of them, he's going to be used to seeing P's next each one of their name every week and checking every week to see if these guys are going to be healthy. I don't think any of them have a very good track record there.
And, Tom, do you want to chime in?
Well, you look at the squad already. Rawls hurt, hasn't been pulled off the pup yet. Jimmy Graham still hurt. Austin Seferin Jenkins is already the second stringer there. Kevin White coming off injury. Sammy Watkins hurt. The main guy I see on his offense right now that hasn't had a problem yet is Dante Moncrief, and it was having a stellar year up until the point where Andrew Luck went down. So if Andrew Luck's there, that guy's putting up 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns last year with probably like 90 catches. Dez Bryant's hurt all the time. Plus with the running game that they're supposedly going to be introducing again, now that they got an all-purpose back, if he's healthy, that's still going to cut into Dez's catches. I mean, he has only, his highest output on receptions ever has been, 93, 94 catches in a year, 1,400 yards, and that was when him and Romo were, like, on fire at that point. And, of course, at that point, you had the guy who's down in Tennessee now running things amok down there. So, I don't know, Romo's getting older. So, I mean, there is nothing else but a lot of guys that are, injury problem guys. So, that's the exact same thing Tim said. The Red Cross is going to be definitely coming out in effect this year again, and I see almost all these guys minus a few of them not being affected by it.
Brian?
Yeah, to go ahead and talk about his offensive flex positions. He had three real good solid people that I would feel confident plugging in there. And unless he does some really miraculous pull out of the free agent draft in a couple weeks, I think he's only going to be at those three. So it's going to be really interesting to see what he does with the free agent draft and see how he can improve upon that offensive flex position. Quarterbacks, they're the same. Great. It's nice to have a named guy back there as his backup. Just play matchups. That's what I see here going on. Next year, I could see him probably taking Matt Ryan, either shuffling him along as a trade or signing him on for three more years. So good luck to him on that call.
To add a couple more comments on my own, just my thoughts, I think Matt Ryan had his worst year statistically last year of his career. But what was missing was the touchdowns, and I would think that he'll bounce back. I don't think this is what we're going to see from Matt Ryan for the rest of his career. He's been a very solid, consistent quarterback, so I think he can salvage that at quarterback.
My one question to you, Rick, is for Matt Ryan, they didn't show any improvement on the offense other than, your Julio, and you got Devontae Freeman back again. What has the team, have you seen that team do in the offseason to improve your thoughts that make you think Matt Ryan will actually, improve from where I know he took a major step back last year, but I don't see, Mohamed Sanu and whoever else they got down there, I don't see anything that came in that's going to improve upon what Julio did last year. I think that it's the same situation that's going on now in Cincinnati, but you had Eifert there. They don't even have a legitimate, tight end in that town right now.
Well, I think that, first of all, Jake Matthews is another year more comfortable at left tackle. They got Alex Mack at center. It all starts by solidifying the offensive line. Last year you had a brand new, I guess I shouldn't take too long and get too long-winded. I'm getting excited. They have a brand new system down there last year. They had a brand new coach and offensive coordinator, brand new offensive system. Almost every team, their second year in a system gets better. So from that respect, at a minimum, you're going to see improvement there. They've got younger legs at wide receiver. Roddy White was just not – it was sad. It was not what you want to see from a guy who has put in so many great years, to see him just floundering on the field like he was, kind of a waste of a spot. Hardy and Sanu should be able to more than improve the wide receiver game to go along with Julio Jones. I think adding Austin Hooper at tight end is a help as well. So I think second year in the system, getting a chance to add Schottenheimer's offense to put that in place, I think they're going to be just fine. But again, the key is that you're not looking for Matt Ryan to be Aaron Rodgers. You're just looking for Matt Ryan to be, frankly, along the lines of himself, Andy Dalton, or even Stafford, that level. And you can win with that. But moving on just quickly, other comments, because I wish we had more time, especially for this show. I think their offensive flex is fantastic. Kevin Rawls, who all indications are that he is right now on track to, until we see it, it's not a sure thing, but he's on track to take that starting job and be healthy. They're just slow walking him. Dez Bryant, again, had a bad year last year. Tony Romo was down last year. He's still an incredible wide receiver. I think he's ranked 8th overall by Dynasty League Football in their top 100. Sammy Watkins is ranked 13th overall in their top 100. You've got Moncrief ranked 21st in their top 100. Three out of the top 100 on offensive players. And Parker's ranked 31st. So they definitely have some really good talent, good young talent. And, yeah, they've had some injuries. You're absolutely right. And speaking of tight ends, everybody kind of touched on them a little bit. I hate their tight ends. Their tight ends are dead, and that's the number one position that they should be trying to improve on. But I think they improved their offensive flex. we haven't even mentioned I gotta set the 15-minute timer, guys. Damn it. That's how I keep track of our extra 15 minutes of time, which we are now into the extra 15 minutes of time for this show. I think they need to get some tight ends. I lost my thought process. Let's just move into letting everybody else talk. Anybody want to comment about the tight ends on this team?
Need improvement.
Yeah, they need to improve the tight end position. These guys are not going to help them win. At kicker, they did trade away the top kicker in the league. It's worth talking about the fact that they then drafted a very accurate kicker out of the college ranks. At least he was very accurate. Going to a young offense in Tampa Bay, decent kicking conditions. They're going to have this guy for 5 years at a minimum. So I think that was a great move. And then at defensive line, Aaron Donald's one of the best defensive linemen in the league right now. He's just a monster, and kudos to them for picking him up. I'm hearing Fowler is very impressive in the Jags camp right now. Daniel Hunter's looking really good. I mean, good defensive lineman, period. You can win with these defensive linemen. What do you think, starting off with Steve?
Yeah, very solid crew that you can rely on, scoring points week in and week out. You can even play some matchups, but I see Donald and Fowler and Hunter, being able to mix and match those guys in and have that end of the donkey be held up.
Who's next? Tim? Defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, pretty solid linebacking crew. Not a big fan of Mike Daniels. But no, overall, with, I mean, Donald in there, I mean, there's your solid guy every week, and I think you can just play matchup-wise with Hunter and the other guy. So, pretty solid lineup there.
Love Mike's brother, Jack. What do you say, Tom?
I actually like his defensive line. I think he might have one of the better younger core of defensive linemen. And it should be a good core group for him for years to come, at least for 5 years out. Love Hunter, upside there with Zimmer's defense. Fowler, like he's getting a redo on the rookie year. Only guy I would have probably cut the fat with would have been Kyle Williams as well. Even though it's two years, 50 cents a year, I still would have probably cut the fat with him.
I don't know if they could afford it. Hey, Brian, you're up at defensive line.
Yeah, Aaron Donald, who can go wrong with that pick? Just to kind of trace back a little bit of history behind that, that was Mike Thomas from the Phantoms 2 that had that pick nailed down. So, anyway, so that's a nice little carryover from one owner to the next. Dante Flower, kind of interesting fact on him is that he was actually an outside linebacker in college who got moved to the defensive end position. So that's going to be interesting. Never played the down on the defensive line, and needless to say, making that transition. Not sure whether that's going to be favorable for him or not. And when I say him, I mean the ball player himself, not the club owner. But we'll kind of wait and see on that one. So I'm kind of intrigued to see what happens with this team.
Let's talk about the defensive flex, and then we'll get into some more larger, big-picture commenting on the team. Defensive flex, I think they clearly have some pieces here. Steve, would you like to talk about the defensive flex? I don't want to blab on the entire episode here.
Sure, and this is the part that I could see it being the weakness in the team as far as giving up the draft picks from this year and not getting a real solid piece. He's got to start six guys out of this group, and he's probably got three or four that are probably pretty solid, but then the rest are big, huge question marks. Now, of course, he did save himself a lot of money, and he's got a lot of roster space to dabble into free agency, but guys like Benderick McKinney, Shane Ray, I mean, those aren't guys that you're going to look to do anything with anytime soon, so I'd like to have seen him keep a couple of draft picks and try and get some of those late round picks that the other clubs got, some of those safeties and those rookie linebackers with upside. So I'll keep an eye on his defensive scoring. I think that's his Achilles heel.
Tim.
I'm in agreement with a lot of that. I mean, I see a couple guys that he's starting to build around on that crew. He's got a few that look like they're just done. He definitely has some more fat to trim here. Drafted Bruce Irvin myself, not a big fan. Let's see. Kirksey hasn't done much. Again, McKinney, like Steve said, just a guy. He's not really even doing much. Same thing with Shane Ray. Not to mention that linebacking crew down there is moving around. Von Miller back healthy is awesome, hopefully. Let's see. I mean, it's just he's got the start of one, but he just doesn't have anything to finish. He's going to get really hurt here.
Tom.
I see this as being an area where he's going to end up having to spend some of his money in that free agency because I don't see many guys that you're going to want to start off with that for the flex. I mean, you got your Quan Alexander, Preston Brown, DeQuell Jackson switching teams this year. So, and Von Miller, I mean, 170 points, you can pull a guy off of that off the waivers for 50 cents. So, I mean, there are misses that he made here, and I know he's got a lot of picks for next year. I would have liked to have seen him do something to get something to help that that defensive flex.
Brian.
100% agree with what Tom just said. Alexander, Brown, Jackson, Miller, those are your top four out of the rest. You know, I mean, it's a crapshoot. You're going to have to spend money to kind of fix up that defensive flex position. So, kudos, you know, good luck to him that he can go ahead and walk into the draft with the money that he has. I just hope he finds the players that he needs.
Quickly would like to say that last year they had a lot of players that they, if you think of streaming starters, dipping into free agency, finding a guy who's playing above what you thought he would play or who got a spot because of an injury is getting playing time, situational players. They had a lot of those kinds of guys, Julius Peppers, DeMarcus Ware, the guy from Chicago, Pernell McPhee. They dumped all those guys this year, and I think that's a good thing for their team because there's no future with those guys. So I don't see anything other than Ingram that they cut as being something that could have helped them going forward. I almost think by cutting all that dead weight that that's a good thing for their team. It's kind of addition by subtraction. But I think I just take not offense, but I take everybody to task on the idea that they don't have valid starters. Alexander's a starter for Tampa Bay in the middle. Preston Brown's going to start for Buffalo. DeQuell Jackson's going to start in Chicago. Bernard McKinney is a starter in Houston. Von Miller is starting in Denver. These are all viable guys that you could have in your lineup. And, yeah, a guy like you're absolutely right that Miller, 172 points, isn't the most impressive thing in the world. But you're not going to have all six of your defensive flex be 200, 300-point guys. So I give them slack there. There's absolutely room for improvement. But as far as their team overall, I think that it's looking pretty good there. And, you know, I'm going to be watching to see what they do with the rest of their offseason, specifically the auction, you know, maybe even trades. So, guys, let's move to the part. We got about 5 minutes left, and I want to ask about the starting lineup. If you're Pabst, who would be in your starting lineup, starting with Steve?
Well, Matt Ryan, Dez Bryant, Dante Moncrief, Parker, and then if Sammy Watkins comes back, I'd put him in there. I would put Kevin White in there. Jimmy Graham, I would start tight end. Obviously, only has one kicker. Probably go with Aaron Donald and Dante Fowler. And then Alexander, Brown, Jackson, Miller, Janoris Jenkins. And I'd probably see if Bruce Irvin can do anything in Oakland.
Tim, fire off a starting lineup, please.
I would probably mimic Steve's, and except for the Bruce Irvin part, I would cut him.
You said you didn't like him. Tom, fire up a starting lineup for
him. In his place, I'd probably just throw a dart at a guy at that point. Or start another defensive lineman.
Yeah, I mimic Steve's thing to as well. The only thing I would probably change is I'd probably put Hunter under with Donald. And, I don't know, like we said, the dartboard for the defensive flex after the main four we'd named off already.
Brian, what do you got for a starting lineup if you're Tron?
Just dig in the free agency, buddy. Dig in the free agency.
Okay, you're answering the next question. I would stream the quarterbacks, better matchup. I would have Rawls in the lineup, Bryant in the lineup, and then between, I would probably put Watkins in the lineup every week, but then I would be watching Moncrief, Parker, White. I mean, all those guys, if the matchup was better, I would play them. Tight end, I'd need to go get somebody. Defensive line, you know, you start Donald and Fowler, and then you see what happens with the rest. And that defensive flex, I mentioned the guys that I would start before, and he still needs to find one extra guy or catch a break with a guy like Joshua Perry or somebody starting that you don't think is going to start this year. Moving on to the next question that I have for everybody is, can this lineup compete this year in the Blue Division? We have 3 minutes left, starting with Steve.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's going to be at the bottom again. Just the other three teams, the way that they've improved their lineups and they've improved their scoring ability, I just don't think they'll keep his this year.
Tim?
I think they
can they compete?
I think they improved their team, but no, I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs this year.
Tom, can they compete in your division, the Blue Division?
I see third place as the highest for them this year, unless they catch a break with no injuries, which they already don't have a break, so, or they do have breaks.
Hey, Brian, you're up.
Yeah, I see Ipswich topping off that division, followed up by Malicious Mind. It's going to be a toss-up between You're in Trouble and Tron's Pap Sixer, so... You know, needless to say, I think he's going to be kind of hitting at the bottom of the barrel as far as the draft picks next year, as far as hitting early again. Hopefully next year he doesn't go ahead and just throw those picks away. You know, he made a trade with me. You know, I think I came out of that with some pretty good picks for giving up Dez Bryant. And needless to say, I have to wait and see if whether he finishes at the bottom and gives those draft picks away again.
Guys, we have less than 2 minutes left.
We
have less than 2 minutes
yet?
Left, guys. I just need to tell you, I'm going to be asking for your five-point scale right after I say what I'm about to say. I think they're the dark horse this year. I think we could talk more about this when we get into the shows later on that talk about who we picking to be the division winner and that kind of thing. But I consider them a dark horse. I do think that they'll compete with this lineup, and I'm waiting to see what they do with the rest of their moves. Steve, on a five-point scale, what do you give Tron's off-season moves?
As a whole, I'd give them a four. I'd only give them about a three for what they've done for the team this year, but they've definitely made moves this year that set them on the right path for the future.
Oh, Tim, five-point scale, what do you give him?
I give him a three so far, and as long as he doesn't sit back at the free agent auction, I can move that to a four pretty easily.
Tom?
Yeah, I'm at about a three. With the possibility of going to four after I see what they do on the auction night.
Brian?
I give him a 3.4 right now. Again, free agency is going to go ahead and obviously wake up this team, really make the difference for it. But I do believe a 3.4 right now at this point. I think
okay.
That it is a team built for the future, not today.
Well, listen, I'm giving them a four. Long-term, I'm giving them a five because of all the wonderful moves they made towards the future. But this year, got to see what else they do. I'm giving them a four. Guys, that's a wrap, or at least it has to be because we're out of time. Don't forget about our upcoming shows on this 2016 off-season moves team-by-team breakdown series. Because we ran short on time here, I think our next show maybe is going to be kind of a wrap-up of the Blue Division so we can go a little deeper on the teams and the topics that we didn't have time to dig into on the initial shows. So after that, we'll move on to the White Division. Until next time, I'd like to thank Tim Savor, Brian Koch, Tom Buckles, and Steve Wellman for joining me tonight. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. This has been another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League Podcast.